From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of January 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will join us to discuss what's been happening in the cash grain market. We'll also hear from Todd Hubbs today, as usual on Mondays, because he posts an article to the Farm Doc Daily website. That's the same today. You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Today, we'll discuss whether or not new crop soybeans need to be sold or not with him. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, then with Mark Russo out of Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, for this Monday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt, let's take up the marketplace in Chicago, where I take it that dry conditions in Argentina are still pushing soybeans forward.
Well, not dry conditions, bone dry conditions. I mean, the hype's starting to go up another notch here this week with the Argentine crop. Got to remember, they're a little bit behind the Brazilian crop, so, you know, if they would receive some rain here over the near term, it would help turn things around. Overall, the next 10 to 12 days continue to show dry conditions. Whereas you look in central Brazil, they're looking at gully washers taking place, which is hampering some early bean harvest activity and some of the second crop corn going in. So the trade's definitely trading on weather forecast in the southern hemisphere, and we'll see how that unfolds here as we go through the week.
Is that impacting the price of hard red winter wheat, or is it weather in the United States?
Both the above. We did see some frigid weather, virtually little snow cover. Over the weekend or even prior going to the weekend, there were some articles about ever since going back to 1875, this is the fourth driest conditions that Dodge City, Kansas has experienced. But when you look at the history, though, it's often, though, that in the fall they only receive about a quarter of an inch rain anyway. So they are extremely dry. The key will be as we move more into the spring in here, see if they receive enough moisture, see how this wheat crop greens up out west. When you look at the spread activity, we saw a correction in the Kansas City-Chicago wheat spread. It narrowed up. Now Kansas City is starting to gain on Chicago wheat. I think the trade's starting to get a little bit more serious about a little smaller crop out west. We still have a long ways to go. It's kind of hard to write off or kill the wheat crop at this point in time. That wheat crop's about like a cat. It has about 9 lives.
Let's come back to corn and soybeans. Soybeans in particular, are producers calling and asking whether they should make new crop soybean sales?
Yeah, they're pretty well sold up on old crop. Guys have been aggressive on old crop bean sales. There's some remaining inventories around. Not too anxious about moving a whole lot due to the wide basis in old crop and also the wide basis in new crop sales. So for those that wanting to not give in to that wide basis, we're looking at you know, some straight hedges or hedge to rye, some type of strategy there to get some downside protection, but maybe take advantage of some narrowing basis down the road. The most conservative route guys are going, not knowing, you know, how many bushels they're going to have, is putting or establishing some price floor strategies in through here, which leaves the upside open. So if the La Nina continues to develop here and kicks in, we can take advantage of some higher prices later on during the growing season as far as rolling up the puts or making some cash sales later on in June or July.
What are the pros and the cons in this marketplace? I'm thinking for soybeans, ending stocks and acreage might be a con. Maybe weather is a pro.
Well, I think a lot of the cons have been built in. If you go over the last 3 years particularly, a lot of the analysts have been trying to get these beans to go down below $8, and they just continue to defy the law of gravity in through here. We've got a large world appetite for beans, particularly from Asia, even though we have ample world supplies. the overall demand is going to remain there to make sure we have some type of crop to satisfy that demand. The wild card, no matter what acreage is here in the U.S., is the weather. Up 1 million acres, down 1 million acres with trend line yields could be burdensome, but when you start shaving some bushels off that trend line yield, multiply it times your harvested acres, that moves the bottom line faster than anything. So weather's going to be very critical here as we move more into the growing season.
Do you believe farmers are really planning to put more bean acres in the ground this year?
It varies from location to location. You got the contrarian say, I'm going to stick with corn. You got the guys looking at the corn-bean ratio. We got guys sticking, they're just plain rotation in general. I believe we can have maybe a half million more acres of beans, maybe unchanged corn acres. We're going to lose some wheat acres. That's going to go in to corn and beans. That's yet to be played out. We'll have some intentions here as we move into early spring. But spring weather is more critical than anything. If we're warm and dry, guys will put corn in. And there was a lot of anhydrous put on here this past fall.
Your assessment of the outside markets. I'm thinking about the lows in the U.S. dollar, maybe the highs in the crude oil, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, of course.
It's all Bitcoin. The heck with that other stuff, Todd. Crude's had a good run in through here, $65. The trade thought it would be awful hard to get above $55. I have a feeling those would approach $70 crude oil. That's enough for now. There's ample crude inventories around. We'll start dialing up production a little bit more. As long as the winter weather here doesn't turn frigid again for an extended period of time or slow down transportation, I imagine we reach some areas of resistance. On gold, gold has put in a huge run, but we're building a massive head and shoulders bottom in the gold chart. So if things were unwinding through here and we see the funds or the world run to owning gold, that gold market could have a fairly good run here. So I keep an eye on the metals. As far as the dollar, we'll see how the State of the Union address unfolds here Tuesday evening, see if there's any indication of some change in which way the wind's blowing there.
Hey, Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, commodity marketing specialist and agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thanks, Todd, for being with us. When you look at this year's or new crop soybean prices, I take it that you're of the opinion that it appears to be this year is very much like last year.
Yeah. It is very much. And when you look at the price patterns of the November contract from like the 1st of December through now, between November 17th contract and November 18th contract, they're very similar. We saw a price run up in early December, weakening through the holidays, and then another price run up in later January, except they're about 20 to 30 cents lower this year, depending on the day you're looking at. It's very similar. It's actually sort of spooky. I've been going around talking in Illinois. It's sort of like the Groundhog's Day effect on the soybean markets when I look at it. It's very strange in that this marketing year is sort of shaving up like last marketing year. Only there's some differences that I like to talk about. Now, the South American weather risk premium that we've seen put in, very similar to last year. We had a little run-up based on South American production. The USDA ended up under forecasting Brazilian production by 10 million metric tons, but they were pretty close in their January forecast for Argentina. This year, it feels like it's a little bit drier in Argentina, but we're a few weeks away from calling that crop finished, so I'm a little bit hesitant to start thinking about they're done for sure and they're going to lose, 140 to 150 million bushels. I'm not absolutely sold on that. But it does look like they're going to lose something in Argentina based on the dry weather they've had. And it's been wet in Brazil. We're hearing talks about maybe disease pressure in a lot of places. but it still looks like they're shaping up to do maybe a 110 to 112 million metric tons. They did 114.1 last year, so this is not a small crop we're talking about, despite what we're hearing from the wet weather portion of it. Now, it could be smaller than that. This thing's far from done and dusted in South America. So that's similar. The difference is we're not exporting at near the levels we were last year. The export inspection reports came out. We're still running, when we think about weekly export inspections, about 14% behind last year. USDA just downgraded in their last report exports by 65 million bushels, and we're still sort of lagging behind. Brazil's really taking it to us this year in the soybean export market, and we need that to pick up substantially to hit the demand numbers we need out of exports. Crush has been up. We've had a good crush, and that might even get it even better this year. Last year, crush deteriorated from January to the final number by about 20 million bushels. Depending on what happens in Argentina, we could see that crush number be better this year. Having said that, the final ending stocks number USDA is currently projecting at 470 seems reasonable to me at this point. The idea that we're going to lose some of those ending stocks is really contingent on a significant loss of production in South America and a pickup in exports from the U.S. The other big difference. Last year, it was pretty obvious to anybody paying attention that we were going to expand soybean acreage in 2017 substantially. And we did. We did. This year, there's a lot more uncertainty out there. I've been saying around 91 million acres. The USDA has been saying around 91 million. A lot of people have been saying around 91 million acres of soybeans, maybe a little bit lower, maybe a little bit higher, depending on where we're at. But on March 29th, that report's going to come out, the prospective planters report, and we're finally going to get some idea of what kind of acreage we're talking about. You know, with these rallies in soybeans we've seen in corn prices, there's been a little bit of movement, but basically flat. You know, and the idea that soybeans are much more profitable than corn in planting, it'll be interesting to see what farmers say they're going to do in March, because that might be the beginning of the end of a rally if we see a big acreage number. Now, it's not going to be like last year. We're not adding another 6+ million acres of beans, but even a couple million acres more, we're looking at a lot of beans if our production numbers hold throughout 2018. So, if you're out there and you're thinking about planting more beans, or if you're not even thinking about planting more beans, but you're thinking about your marketing strategy for this year. Last year, the November contract was well above 10 all through the end of January through February, and then deteriorated into March. Went down well below 10, and then we got another weather rally in July that moved it well back up above 10, and then the prices went away. And I think we're all familiar with what happened last year. There was three months really where you could have got well above 10 cash price. You'd probably been above 10 if you'd have forwarded them. This year, it's sort of shaping up. Now, when I'm not saying we're going to get a summer weather rally like we saw last year, but they usually do occur. But we're coming from a much lower price level, you know, 20 to 30 cents. So if you're thinking about your marketing plan for the 18 crop of beans, you know, selling 10 to 15% of your beans. Here in central Illinois, I've been looking around Champaign, the few counties around. This morning, yeah, you could have got a cash price for October delivery somewhere between 970, 980. You might be a little bit below that. The basis has been about 3,500 in a lot of places. Some places it's 40, 42. But you're still looking at a price, let's say 965 to 980 range for your beans. I know that's nothing to throw a party about, but I think it's a decent price when we're looking at what could possibly be the marketing year average price for 18-19. Because if the South American crop doesn't go bad, or if Argentina even recovers some and Brazil does put in 112 million metric tons, and we up our acreage even a little bit, there's going to be a lot of beans out there. And we've just not been getting our exports here like I think we need to see our stocks get drawn down to a level that would actually support prices more. So this year feels a lot like last year in many ways, but there's some slight fundamental differences going on. So I would just ask your listeners, you know, to think, at least think about, you know, should I market some new crop beans now in this rally?
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Bob.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain side of the marketplace and to check on see what Greg Johnson of the Andersons has to say for the afternoon. He's right here in Champaign County. Hey, Greg, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
Okay, so we just heard Todd Hubbs talk about marketing new crop soybeans. I'm wondering whether farmers have actually been inquiring about new crop soybean or other sales today.
Yes, they've been asking about it and putting offers in. We really didn't buy a lot today, so, you know, but I think we're getting close. Another 10, 15, 20 cents, I think farmers will, some of these offers will start getting hit. So, you know, we're starting to see offers put in. I wouldn't say it's like translated to actual sales today, but I think we're getting close.
So the offers are, what, 10, 20?
10, 20, yes. That seems to be the magic number that, you know, people put it in at or just below that.
Right. So they're thinking about it seriously. Now, the second part of this is that there isn't really a carry in the market for, or not very much of one, for new crop soybeans. Why is that the case?
I think the traders are concerned that if we really only have a 350 to 400 million bushel carry out, and then we have any kind of problem at all, farmers may not be willing to sell beans at certain levels, and so they're bidding up the nearby to try to get some ownership. Once we see the acreage number in March, and if we get off to a good start, then you would think those spreads would widen out and we'd see a little bit more carry in the market. But today, I think the traders are just a little nervous about how much carry out we really will have, and so they're just not reflecting that carry in the market, in the bean market. It's there in the corn market, but it's just not, and because we have a bigger carry out, we have 250 or 2.5 billion bushel corn carryover, we just don't have that big of a carryover in the beans. So I think that's the difference between the carry in the corn and beans.
Does it seem odd to you that the trade is thinking that 470 at the moment, and then when they roll forward, the carryout just doesn't look that big to them, because it sounds like a big number?
It does. It, you know, if you really believe it's 470 and you really believe we're going to plant more beans and you really believe we're going to have a normal crop, the spread should be, you know, 8 to 10 cents between Nov and Jan, and then between Jan and March, each futures month should be 8 to 10 cents spread. But we're not seeing that, so the trade, you know, isn't entirely convinced at this point that we're going to have that big of a carryout, that many acres, and that big of a yield. So, you know, a lot of uncertainty yet between now and then.
What's basis like for old crop corn at this point?
We're seeing old crop basis hang in there. You know, the processors are paying, you know, somewhere around option price. The elevators are 15 to 20 under. So, you know, basis levels are pretty firm, but there is good carry in the market, 2 to 3 cents each month between now and July. So the market is telling farmers that if you want to store it, you can capture that carry and pick up about 3 cents a month carry.
And apparently they're happy enough to do that because basis is pretty tight.
Well, they just don't like the flat price, the overall flat price in corn. There is some carry, but even farmers that have grain in the elevator and are paying storage charges just aren't selling, so they just don't like the price. It'd be nice if corn would go up another 10 to 20 cents, but, you know, I guess we'll see if that happens or not. But that seems to be what they're waiting for, now, you know, a little bit higher price in corn. And they were waiting for higher prices in beans, but we are starting to see those higher prices in beans. So I think that will translate into some farmer selling.
Speaking of that last moment, we only have about 30 seconds left. That 10-20 area for soybeans is kind of the top end of the range. Once we get there, will we bounce back down? If we get there, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see what the acreage report says. We'll have to see what the weather in South America does for the month of February, and then see what kind of start we get off to. So those are the three factors that probably, and the strength of the dollar. So those four things will probably impact the bean market.
Just enough time for your old crop bids, please.
Okay, old crop corn is 344, old crop beans 966, and the wheat 444.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That is Greg Johnson of the Andersons. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. Let's start in South America. Argentine weather has really been impacting what's happened in Chicago for the last couple of months, and I'm supposing that the dry weather will continue for the next couple of weeks. What do you tell me?
Well, let's first talk about just this past weekend where there was some rain activity across portions of Argentina. It wasn't the entire belt, but we did see some of the core acreage within southern Cordoba, adjacent areas of Buenos Aires, and then into some of the smaller producing areas in La Pampa pick up significant totals here. Even a little swath in central Santa Fe and Entre Rios picked up rainfall amounts in excess of 1 inch across that small swath of acreage there. So, you know, there was some activity in some of the driest areas, but there still is, you know, more can still be done, obviously, to improve soil moisture reserves, especially for the driest areas. And there are still going to be some opportunities the next couple of days before the belt goes into a solidly dry mode with very limited rainfall, as well as hotter temperatures from the middle of this week on through the middle portion of next week. And that seems to be the biggest concern out there here today. We do feel that beyond the middle of next week and towards the latter part of next week, that rain opportunity will again be increasing across the belt. One of the reasons why they're going to be hotter and drier the middle of this week and through the middle of next week is due to a ridge of high pressure that's going to be building over the belt. Well, later on next week, that ridge is projected to weaken, and once in a weakening mode, that should allow a more favorable setup for activity here. So that's going to be a key time frame to watch as far as are these projections for better rainfall, do those continue to roll forward as we approach them?
And anyplace else in South America we ought to be checking in on? I'm thinking in Brazil, they've been really wet as they've tried to start the harvest season.
Yes, they're going to have some difficulties here coming up in around Mato Grosso, where, you know, soybean harvesting is taking place. They are in a wetter-than-normal pattern for the next couple of weeks, and that will likely result in some disruptions to overall harvest progress and even some logistics here as we during this first half of February. Again, not a major issue, but certainly those issues here could come around as a result of the active pattern.
In the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States, it has been very dry. There is concern in Chicago at the CME Group, reflected in their Monday prices. With that, maybe the cold weather and lack of snow cover, too. What do we know about those areas?
Yeah, from a precip forecast standpoint, it's more of the same here, Todd, especially from Kansas, the heart of the belt, down through the Texas Panhandle. Just no sign of any significant precip that would make a difference. Temperatures will be turning colder as well, which again needs to be monitored from a winter kill threat standpoint here coming up. The core of cold looks to stay just north, but still something to keep an eye on. And again, the dryness is really the main item here coming up.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. Remember, you can always find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.